Charlie Sheen.
Hi, man.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
That's a long way to come for a hamburger.
But it's a really good hamburger, you know, so what are you going to do?
Mate, they tell me you were spotted at Hungry Jack's earlier in the night.
No, it's not true.
I hope not. Do you think Fatty Borden can come back from the origin loss in the first game?
Do I think what?
Fatty Borden, Queensland State of Origin team, can come back from their first loss against Queensland.
Well, if they really believe in themselves, absolutely they can. They've got to dig a little deeper.
Terry Hill, he's a Charlie Sheen, I think. He had no idea who Fatty Borden was. How good.
He was a character, Tezza.
Oh, he was
a character.
Yeah.
We'll miss Tezza.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll miss him. The game, probably after Terry, Ray, I don't want to sound controversial here or disrespectful, but we don't have those kind of characters in the game anymore.
Our next guest will probably elaborate on that point. Phil Buzz Rockfield's on the line. Buzz, good morning. And he was a one-of-a-kind Terry Hill, Buzz.
Yeah, he sure was, mate. I got to know him really well as a young football player. And I did something in a column today that he holds one very special piece of rugby league history too. It'll never be broken. In 1999, he scored the very, very first try at Homebush on Olympic Stadium, Sydney Olympic Stadium, it was known then, playing for Manly, I think it was against Newcastle, first game of a doubleheader. Very, very historic moment in the game. We've seen so much footy there over the years with grand finals, origins. And he was one of a kind, Terry Hill, and you're right, Bulldog. There's not many of him around anymore, particularly public. You know, there's some characters, but no one who will express themselves in the manner in which he did.
Buzz, your column in today's Sunday Telly, What's the Buzz? Always a must read. You've plucked a really good exclusive interview with Jack Hetherington, re the tunnel drama with Reid Marnie last week. Run us through the interview. What was Jack like and what did he say?
I found him... I really, really enjoyed our conversations. I had two or three with him. And, mate, he's a really, really good fella. And he's dirty on himself that he let a lot of niggling get the better of him. He said he'd worked so hard with Adam O'Brien since 2021. He hadn't had a charge from the Match Review Committee, so that's 3 years. And then he has this explosion in the tunnel. And I put it to him about, you know, how he was baited out there. And I asked him, you know, Jamin Salmon was saying a bit to him, but mainly it was Reid Marnie. And he said they were just like little pests, like little chihuahua dogs, just yapping, but, you know. But he didn't excuse that for his behaviour. And that funny quote from this morning, I hate a little smart ass. And dog. You've spoken about this before. The courage of the Reid Marnies and the Jamin Salmons has increased since the punch was banned when Paul Gallen toweled up Nate Miles in Origin. And there are no repercussions now for going to these enforcers and, you know, being really brave in front of them, knowing you can't get struck back. Jack foolishly, and admits foolishly, when he was in the tunnel, just couldn't contain himself.
I mean, I don't mind a yapper on the field. Buzz, sledging and chirping's been going on for years. The only point I wanted to make during the week was that when Gallen whacked Nate Miles on the chops and the one-punch sin bin rule came in, it meant a lot of these little blokes who want to be smart, Alex, can now hide behind the rule, mouth off, and know there's no repercussions. Where in the old days, if you did that, you could expect to lose a tooth.
Yeah. Look, absolutely. And look, Jack went on to say that, you know, he thought he was fortunate because of his stupidity to only get 1 week. So he's taken ownership of his actions. He said he was expecting a bit longer than that. But, you know, he's a family man now. He's got 3 kids. He doesn't go out, you know, like he used to. And, yeah, he was just a bit dirty on himself. And particularly with Ponga out, and they got the big game this afternoon. He'll be back for the Warriors next week. He feels like he's let a few people down. But look, I could tell, and I said on NRL 360 the other night, if that was a serious tunnel situation, he would have you know, he would have belted the guy, but he was dancing around and just, he almost had a smile on his face as he did it.
Yeah, and I admired his honesty in that interview with you, Buzz, because, as you said, he thought he'd get longer than a week. He has got a rap sheet, although he hasn't had any transgressions for over 3 years. Some of his
comments on Gus Gould were funny.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
so. He loves Gus. He respects Gus, but he reckons Gus put a bit of GST was the word he used into a few of the funny stories he told.
And he doesn't want to fight Gow once and for all. No, he said, made look, that clear.
he said he once said to Gus, "I'd like to have Gow's money from fight boxing," you know, like we all would. Yes. No, I found him he was a really good interview. He it's funny, he sent me a text message, said, because I wanted to make sure he's comfortable with the story, so I showed it to him for publication. And he sent me, "Oh, mate, thanks for that, really happy with it." And half an hour later, I get a call, "Oh, mate, can we change this?" He said, "Right." Another half hour, "Oh, mate, can we?" I said, "I thought you liked the story." I said, "Mate, this is the last change I'm making. I have a deadline."
Buzz, another interesting piece in your column. You've written about the West Tigers, a fascinating story. Run us through it.
A very, very interesting story, Bulldog, about the NRL threatening to go into the West Tigers and do an audit of their records. It follows a very controversial interview that the West Tigers CEO Shane Richardson did with the Australian Financial Review during the week. Apart from slamming the NRL and saying that the Las Vegas was a disgrace and just one big party and he didn't want a bar of it at the West Tigers, he made some comments about the membership figures that have been fudged or falsified at the West Tigers. The previous management said they had 20,000. Richardson went in and said they had 8,000.
It's just extraordinary, isn't it, Buzz?
Yeah, it is. And then I made some other phone calls and found out that Lee Hadjipantelis from Bryden's lawyers had pulled his $1 million sponsorship a few weeks ago. FAB Industrial Logistics, who were back a Jersey sponsor, pulled their support. So they lost $2.2 million last year. Now they've lost their two major sponsors. Now, whenever there's a situation like this, the NRL, considering they give the clubs so much money, they give the clubs $17.5 million a year. That's $5 million more than the salary cap. When sponsors are bailing out, when they're losing money, they often go in and try to find out why. So what that interview has done, I think, has backfired and sent alarm bells ringing at the NRL. And it'll be interesting to watch this one play out in the next couple of weeks. Look, the West Tigers have improved this year on the field. They've won two games. It would only be one game if Gutherson had landed on Easter Monday, that penalty goal at the end.
Yeah. Have they really improved, Buzz?
I
think they have.
They're competitive. Yeah.
They're competitive. I get it. But I'm just saying, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, you know, they've only won two games.
Yeah, look,
so it's not much better than what they were last year. Benji's the coach to take him into the future. I'm not saying get rid of him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying purely on cold, hard stats and looking at the ladder, they're no better than what they were.
Now, what I want to see from this football club is a good, proper, strategic plan. I looked at that ground last night at Campbelltown. It looked fantastic. It was full. You couldn't get more people in. I looked at Leichhardt the other day. It was full. Couldn't get more people in, okay? Now, if you take the 16,000 at Campbelltown to Acor Stadium, which Shane Richardson wants to do, you know how many empty seats you got? 70,000. If you take that Leichhardt crowd to Acor Stadium, you got 72,000. Empty seats. I don't like it. I agree they should play their blockbuster games against Power on Easter Monday at the bigger stadiums. But they can never lose touch with a really passionate supporter base at both Campbelltown and in the inner west at Leichhardt. Mm. And I think they've got to do their homework, do their strategic, research, working with venues New South Wales and the NRL, at least find a venue where they're going to play for the next 10 years.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Hey, Buzz, just one word answer, because it'll get Dina upset again. RP Coruscant, try, yes or no?
Yeah, it was a try. It was a try.
Bizarre decision. Bizarre. Hey, Buzz, in your...
Yeah, but look, sorry? It's... The bunker look for too many reasons to disallow tries. And that's the problem. You'd think they were on a bonus for disallowing tries the way they... Yeah, you think.
It was just a bizarre
try
decision.
Every day of the week.
It was, yeah. Hey, Buzz, our former colleague and good friend Phil Heads, he's done the right thing by Ray Hadley.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that nice, eh? Bolts couldn't help himself. Loves publicity. So he sent me
one of
his
listening, Buzz, direct ears.
Oh, he listens every Sunday. To this segment exclusively.
That's nice to know he listens.
No, but anyway,
waiting sore from 9:40.
Yeah, of course they do. he sent me a photo of himself outside his new sign, outside the broadcast box at Allianz Stadium. There was, as I wrote this morning, a kerfuffle last year because Bolts had been sent a photo from a tradie who put up a little plastic sign that said the Ray Hadley broadcast box. And suddenly that sign disappeared. And Hadley thought, geez, what's going on here? You know, who have I upset? Why have they taken my sign down before he'd even seen it? Anyway, Philip Heads explained in the story that he wasn't happy and he thought it deserved bigger recognition. And as you can see from that photo today, they've done a lovely don't touch the sets, don't touch the dials, don't go anywhere. Yeah, nice recognition to the great man. How many origins he called Bulldogs? Is it 100 this year? Or?
Well, he'd be getting close. Yeah. He'd be getting close. I think the Rabs might have
Rabs
just
are tied on 99.
Short, 99
yeah, Don
like Bradman.
Bradman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Bolts will retire one short, do you?
No.
He loves it.
He'll be pushing someone out of the way to get into that box that night.
Are you and him okay these days, Dog?
Oh, we have a love-hate. You know, I like Ray, he hates me. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Hey, Buzz, what about Sam Walker? Next contract? Does he want to stay at the Roosters?
Didn't he have a blinder the other day?
Sure did.
Well, look, in November he's available to talk to other clubs. And the Titans and Desi, despite his great win over in New Zealand on Anzac Day, is desperately in need of a quality halfback. And so are the Broncos, because Sam's contract finishes up at the same time Adam Reynolds does. He's a Queenslander, very proud Ipswich boy. However, Nick Politis very, very rarely loses a play. Well, that sounds a bit funny because Joey Manu and Joseph Svalihi are going on. But in this case, I'm sure all parties will sit down before November, before he can go on the out and do a deal. And the way he's playing football, and Keary won't be around, he and Tedesco probably won't be around by the time his new deal starts, he'll be a $1 million player. And not quite at the level of the Clearys and the... what about Cherry Evans the other night? Again, that pass, you know. Not quite, maybe Jerome Hughes levels yet. But I tell you what, he's closing in on the very best halves in the game. You know, I'd certainly have him in my top half dozen.
Exactly. Hey, Buzz, our talk topic today is about sporting heartthrobs. Like Georgia from Camden has said her heartthrobs in time order were Phil Blake, Trent Barrett, Dylan Brown. Dark hair and handsome, she says. And she's from League Lover, Georgia. So who was your sporting heartthrob when you were growing up, Buzz?
You know, when I was growing up, you know I used to love? Mm-hmm. I used to love our tennis players.
Yeah.
John Newcomb, Tony Roach, Kenny Rosewell. I just loved them.
Question was about heartthrobs, Buzz.
Well, they had to be good looking. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant heroes.
Heartthrobs, yeah.
They're the same era.
Do you remember Renata Tomanova?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I had Chris Evatt as mine, Phil.
Chris Evatt. Yeah, Chris Evatt, very pretty lady dog. E.T. was my era growing up, you know. Oh, I wasn't really growing up, but there's no bigger heartthrob than E.T., surely.
Yeah. He's up there with you around the Shire, Phil.
Absolutely.
Did you hear the Flano interview?
I heard bits of it, Dog. I was preparing for this very important segment. So,
so at the end, we had a bit of a set to. Look, I've spoken
to Shane enough. I don't need to hear it again.
We had a little bit of a set to at the end, though. Because I reminded him of when we went to Kira and we sat down for a beer and I bought the first shout. You bought the second and Flano wouldn't buy a drink because he's very careful with his money. And he claimed that the story was wrong. How do you remember that story?
No, I agree with you. Anyway, there was another. It shows how mad Flano is. Bulldog and myself were walking every morning from Kira Beach around to Snapper Rocks through Coolagatta Rainbow Bay. You know what Flano's done while we're walking? He was hiding in bushes like a paparazzi photographer and took photos of us walking along the esplanade.
It's just creepy.
They'll be leaked one day, Buzz.
Well, he sent them to us mid-walk with a quite derogatory comment, but, which I won't repeat here.
Yeah, well, I'm watching you guys.
But, mate, wouldn't you think an NRL coach in an off-season would have better things to do than park himself behind a tree with his iPhone 15.
Very
and
funny.
And pat two old journalists.
Love it. Hey, Buzz, before we let you go, two games to complete this weekend's round. They're both interesting games. Dolphins are very short, $1.47 head-to-head against the Knights, $2.70. The Raiders, I think, are overs, $2.85 head-to-head against your Sharkies, $1.43. How do you see both games?
Both games. Knights... There was no club more dependent on one player as they are with Ponga than any other team in this comp. So I expect the Dolphins to win that game and reasonably comfortably on recent form. Look, this is Ricky's 500th game down there, you know, and they're going to be up, the Raiders. They're on the rebound after losing to the Broncos. This is dead set, you know, the Sharks are without... Trindle at 5'8", which is disappointing. Look, look, I'll tip Cronulla because I'm a Cronulla fan, but it could go either way.
How do you see him?
Great segment, Buzz.
Yeah.
Great segment. Out of 10, solid 8.5. Information, a bit of humour.
Where can I get the 1.5
Your bag, Hadley. Your bag, Flano. Great shift.
And Richo.
Your bag, Richo. You've earned your coin. Yeah, you go and put your feet up.
Good on you, Buzz.
See you,
good luck to your Sharkies this afternoon.
Bye.